All right, we are here to hold a work session in the Davis County Admin Building, 61 South Main, Suite 306, Farmington, Utah, commencing at 2 p.m. on Thursday, January 20th at 2022. We'll do a roll call around the room.
Charisse Bills, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Start the table.
Michelle Scher.
Member of Public.
Member of the Public.
Lorraine Kamalu, Commissioner.
Randy Ely, Commissioner.
Bob Stevenson, Commissioner.
Curtis Hill, Clerk Auditor.
Mark Hill, Attorney's Office.
Neil Gannis, Attorney's Office.
Josh Johnson, Library.
Kent Anderson, Community and Economic Development.
Lisa Manning, Assessor.
Chris Bond, Human Resources.
Shonda Brady, Commission Office. Katie Witt, Member of the Public.
Nika Peterson, Brooklyn City Council.
Lane Rose, Facilities.
Heidi Bordeckers, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Brian McKenzie, Clerk Auditor's Office.
We have a couple of other people join us, so as they come in, can they introduce themselves for the role? Steven.
Steve, for the record.
Grant
Laura,
CED. Yeah. Robert Tripp, Civil Attorney's Office.
All right, Attorney.
Well, we've had this one,
which is down. All right, so we're here at the 2 p.m. time to discuss separating the clerk auditor office. We'll kind of open that up to discussion a little bit as we have been mindful of the elections and also the auditor with a little bit more monies coming to the county, the separation of duties that we've been want to have that discussion now, so we'll open it up to the commission and first.
Okay, I mean, I was the one that brought it up in the meeting, to set this meeting up. I'd like to see if, Neil, can you give us a little bit of a, or any of the attorneys, a little bit of a explanation of the process that this has to go through?
So state statute in Title 17, Chapter 16, specifically grants authority to the county legislative body to consolidate county offices or to separate any previously consolidated offices. And relative to this particular instance of separating a previously consolidated office, the condition is that they do that, that they do it by enacting an ordinance, and the requirement is that any ordinance that would separate county offices must be enacted before February 1st of the year in which county offices are elected. And when this issue was first brought to me, we did look at the question of what happens if a candidate is already filed. The statute simply doesn't address it. It seems odd that it doesn't address it, but it does not. Our office, we did some research into the statute to see if there's been any case decision on that issue. No case law, but there was an opinion that has been published through the Attorney General's office asking for an opinion. Several questions dealing specifically with this statute, and one of the questions was, wait a minute, if it allows you to do that, either way, consolidate or separate, does the statute go so far as to authorize the legislative body to, you know, in the reverse, to consolidate two offices in the middle of an election, or in the middle of the term? I'll read this specific question because I think it's pretty indicative of how the statute is viewed. Does this statute give the commissioners or legislative body the authority to eliminate a county office and the person elected to that office in the middle of that person's elected term of office? So this is a situation saying after an election has been held, could you utilize this authority that's given the statute to eliminate and effectively remove someone from office? And the answer was yes, without any further explanation. So I think that's just kind of the land from a legal perspective.
Okay, so my question is, and again, before we even had this, talking about this, I think this was answered. But if we were to, we have to, by February 1st or 2nd, we have to put this ordinance in place. Am I correct?
You have to enact it before.
Which makes it effective. Which then makes it effective the following January, whatever day it is. Okay?
First Monday.
So, but if we were to hypothetically do this on February 10th, then it wouldn't be effective until the end of the present, whoever's elected this year's term, so we'd be talking 4 years from January before that would take place. That was my understanding.
Right. It wouldn't take effect until that first Monday in January after the election.
On that. So, okay, so I think that one of the things that we have here as far as decision goes is we have Michelle who has come in and she's put her name in, or she's saying that she's seeking signatures for the position of clerk auditor in Davis County. And I think in all fairness to Michelle, because you know what, you're the person who's put in as far as goes, can you, you know, ask us, tell us, give us your thoughts as far as just separating these two, because this does impact what your decision was to run for the position of clerk auditor.
Well, because I'm not in the office, I don't really have an opinion on whether that office needs to be split or not. I find it interesting that you're doing it now. Not 3 weeks ago, not a year ago, not 3 years ago when we gave our current county auditor a pay increase because of the extra work involved of $20,000. And so what happened in 3 years that the $20,000 wasn't a commensurate coverage of that job, and now that job is so burdensome that we now need to split that office? And why was that not able to be seen before an election process started?
Okay, you pricked my mind on a question I've been meaning to ask. When did we combine these? How long ago was that?
1989.
89?
It was in the 1990 election, but yeah, the discussion took place in 89.
So it's been 30 years ago at least on that. Okay, I didn't know the answer to that, so I was kind of curious. So, first of all, we actually have been talking about this for a bit. This wasn't just because it came up in the commission meeting the other night or the other morning. It has been kicked around a little bit. Part of what, and again, I'm going to only speak for myself on this, when we go through our budget process, we see a lot of things. So if you take this year, this is, you know, my thinking is, you turn around and you take this year, we've got elections that are going on, we've got our budget process that we're going on, we've got COVID, we've got ARPA funds coming in, we've got CARES funds that we're still trying to take care of. And if you had been working here, you would see that realistically, in just taking the last 3 years, we've gone from here to here with what's there. And so visibly watching and seeing what everybody's having to do and the increase of manpower that we've had to bring in and all this, this has been a question that's been there. And again, it's part of also for the second part we want to talk about, deals with why I'm, you know, throwing out we need to start studying as far as the form of government goes, is because from my perspective, I am seeing this growth. I have talked to Curtis and I've asked him, talk to me about the workload. I know with Heidi, as far as the workload that she has, I've had discussions a year ago with Heidi as far as help me understand what is taking place within this department. I will be honest, I haven't had a lot of discussions with Brian as far as it goes, but from what I've seen is that things have basically been, you know, ballooning, mushrooming, or getting a little bit, and it had concerned me personally when in fact, Curtis made fun of me a few weeks ago because he left around 5:30 and my car was still here because I hadn't left yet. And he said, hey, this is probably one of the few times I've walked down to see your car still here when I'm leaving. Because usually when I leave, these guys' cars are still here. And I know they've come in on weekends. And so this is all part of saying, okay, what is best for the county in the future? And you're right. I've been here and you haven't. I totally respect this as far as what you say on that. But being in the position that I am, I do see that we are getting to where we have to make some changes. I had asked Neil the question I just asked you. I was aware that if we didn't do this now, it wasn't something we could do in 2 years. It would be a four-year process before, in a sense, we could turn around and do that again. So that's some of my thinking. Have we brought this up back December 5th, in a sense? Yeah, we probably should have. I think a part of what takes place when you're starting to think through these things is, okay, what happens, Christmas time comes, everything's going on, and you know what, there are things.
You know, that sounds all nice and wonderful, Bob, but it's a four-year term. And if this was a problem and an issue, definitely 3 months ago, it could have been resolved before an elections process was started and opened.
Well, I don't disagree with you, okay? And hindsight always says, You know, what if ands and buts as far as it goes? But right now, from my opinion, is we're in a situation to where if we don't do something quickly, then this is going to be 4 years from now. And hypothetically,
I think it's awesome, and whatever you guys decide to do, it's not going to change what I'm doing. So let the games begin.
Okay, so Michelle, but there's another thing though that I think you made a good point to me, and I think we have to ask, and I keep looking at the attorney, is that Michelle has gone out and filed to be able to get signatures, and she started that process, which there is a cost to that process, whatever it may be. I think some of us in here have done it, so we know it's a cost.
$28,815.
And they want the money up front. And
it's already
so
paid.
The question that I would have for the group, namely the attorneys, and maybe Brian can give us some input on this also, is that when an individual has started seeking these signatures, and is there some type of liability that we as the county take? And on top of that, where we're splitting this, and Michelle, on her filing, I gather, says clerk auditor. Am I correct on that, Brian?
That's correct, yeah.
So because of the fact that if we turn around and split this, and let's just hypothetically say right now she's got 5,000 signatures. I have no idea, so we'll just use that figure. Can those 5,000 signatures, if she decides that she's going to run for clerk or she's going to run for auditor, can those 5,000 signatures be automatically applied to either A or B?
I'll come up here so I can pick up on the audio.
I've had a very similar question to that, and I would look to our attorneys. I'm not aware of anything specific in statute that tells us how to handle that. So I think I'll just put out an idea, and maybe attorneys, you can say, Brian, no, that's crazy or whatever. I think it would be reasonable for any candidate that has started that process, if something changes partway, it would be reasonable to say they should be grandfathered in some way to hold that individual harmless. And so if Michelle were to say, hey, do you want, I'm going to run for clerk or I'm going to run for auditor, then those signatures, because they were still gathered for that combined office, I think it would be reasonable to justify to say, look, they could still be valid for whichever office she goes after. Again, I'm not aware of anything in statute that says yay or nay one way or another, so I would look to our attorney.
Who would we have to approach to have that answer? Who would give us that answer, or do we just accept that's what we do here in the county?
The Lieutenant Governor's office is the chief election officer for the state. We could definitely reach out to them and see if they have any guidance on that. Again, they'll probably reach out to the Attorney General's office, just as we're reaching out to our attorneys for some guidance.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my two peers here. So let's just hypothetically say it comes back and it says no, they can't be accepted, and she's already gathered 5,000 signatures on this. From our perspective, in all fairness to Michelle, do we turn around and say, well, we have got to realize that, you know, we've done this, she's been doing, she's following the rules, we're actually following the rules from what I understand, but because we're both following the rules, it does create this, a little bit of this, dealing with the cost of getting these signatures. Do we then turn around and, you know, you guys' opinion, do we have some responsibility, whether it was Michelle or Jane Doe or John Doe or whoever, that we have to turn around and relook at that?
So with legal, I mean, I don't just refer to legal on that. Can we, as a county commission, vote to take care of somebody's signature because we changed it halfway?
I would have to look at the statutes. I don't know that offhand. I mean, I think there's a, without having been able to review the statutes, I think it is a strong likelihood that you would be able to then redirect those signatures to one of the two open.
I think you would be able to do that, because that's what the office you're seeking. You'd be able to say those are still grandfathered in.
That's what I would like to have happen if it is not a problem in the state of Saskatchewan, of course.
Okay, so I may have cut you off with some questions here. Is there any?
No.
Okay. I would like to now ask, in a sense, Heidi, Brian, and Curtis, the workload that exists as far as all this goes. Help us understand. I mean, we see it, but, you know, can we get any input from you guys? Randy, I'm sorry, this is your
go ahead on this. Well,
Sure. I can tell you that when the offices were consolidated, the population of the county was roughly 185,000 people. We now have registered voters of 190,000 people. Certainly, staff sizes have grown. But my office straddles two offices. It is two jobs. With ARPA, SLFRA, budget, overlapping of duties, putting tentative budgets on tables while also trying to run elections, I've seen a dramatic increase in the workload over the last 3 years. And so, as you look at the efficiency, the responsibilities, I'm not opposed to this discussion. And I'll let the chief deputies speak to that as well.
And do you have anything to add?
Just as it relates to the clerk's functions, for those who don't know, Curtis has assigned me specifically to manage the clerk functions. Within that, we're responsible for passport acceptance, marriage licenses, and elections. Those are kind of the basic ones. In fact, back in 89, those were some of the responsibilities that were listed in the clerk's office, and then also records management. And what we've seen is the county has continued to grow, and we've also seen the complexity of the things that the clerks are doing as well. As we expand in size and sophistication on the records management end of things, and we're seeing thousands of grammar requests come through every year. That takes a significant amount of time and decision making and processing. And fortunately, we have wonderful staff that do help facilitate that. But ultimately, there are decisions that come from that avenue that need to have or some situations that come from that need decision, they need oversight. I'm fortunate that I'm able to work with our managers, with our staffs to cover many of those responsibilities, but it's just grown and it continues to grow. Elections are no longer something that we do once or twice a year. Again, Davis County back in 2017 was the first year that we started administering elections for all of our cities and all of our districts. So that increases during the even or the odd numbered years. The legislation that comes out with elections never ends either. I know that we talk about a 45-day legislative session. That doesn't exist. And any of us who are involved in any level of government know that there's always policies, rules, ideas that are being put forward that demand time and demand attention. Voter registration last year alone, we did well over 100,000 registration updates. That keeps us busy. There is a lot of work that goes on in the clerk's office to keep us busy. I've been grateful for Curtis being there as much as he can be, but a huge challenge that we face is Curtis is dedicated to budget process during October and November. And that's one of our busiest times in the clerk's office. And sometimes he's just not available. He'd love to be, he tries his best, but he has other priorities that hit on him. And that's a challenge. It is difficult at times. I could go on and on, but yeah, there's a significant amount of work that comes out of the clerk's office that requires a lot of attention and a lot of expertise to keep things running smooth.
Okay.
Can I ask a few questions?
Oh, please.
How many employees have been expanded over the last 3 years in the clerk's office?
We've actually reduced a couple since Curtis has come into office. Just recently, this last year, we brought in one new full-time employee, and that's because we brought in the commission clerk division that was established last year. We originally had that a part-time position, and it was needed to move into a full-time position and just became full-time in January.
What about as far as on the elections go? And I know you use a lot of part-time people, but there's still people we have to deal with, especially when the mail-in type stuff happened. How did the elections part change once you went to what you're doing with all the cities and that compared to when the cities, in a sense, ran their own stuff?
Well, obviously, that brings us into the odd-numbered years that we're heavily involved in election administration. When I got involved in the elections originally, we were contracting, I think, with three cities. It was Layton, Bountiful, and I think Kaysville. I think those were our three cities that we've been doing for years. And then as that moved on, we expanded that to all 15 cities, and we have six or seven districts, depending on the year, that can have elections as well, that we're administering for them as well. So that has expanded. And then you just increase the size. I mean, Curtis talked about the population growth over the last 30 years of how that has increased and continues to increase. And that hits us on elections, it hits us on marriage licenses, it hits us on grandma requests, it hits us on passports, it hits us on phone calls for whatever it might be, comes into the office and impacts that workload as well.
Okay, so I know the census this year showed us that 360,000 plus people. Does anybody know back in 1990 how many, what the size of the county was?
185,000. What was it? 185,000.
So you're saying the county's doubled in 30 years?
Pretty close. Yeah.
So my question is, how quickly can we find out if the signatures that she's already gathered can roll over to these different positions?
I can reach out to the LG's office and see if they have any opinion. Okay. I can't tell you how quickly they can give us an opinion, because that's kind of up to them, but I can reach out to them and find out.
Okay, because I have that's my big question right now is, she's out gathering signatures, they're out doing the work, she's paid the money, you know, how can we make sure she positions one or the other positions that those signatures already gathered can roll over, and if she even wants to continue the process.
And it's not a question.
There's no question.
The statement would be is the fact that if we do this, which I'm going to probably propose we wait and do it on Tuesday instead of this afternoon, so we make sure, I mean, we need to make sure we have all of our ducks lined up.
Yes.
All the things answered.
More public comment.
And I think that what we three have to understand is that if we do split this, you very well can make the decision to say, you know what, I'm not interested in A or B, I was interested in A and B. Or, you know, you could turn around and say, I'm interested in A or I'm interested in B, and I think that becomes, you know, the decision you and your family and supporters, you know, make as far as that goes on it, which also impacts us, because if you, you know, if A comes back and says, yes, Mrs. Sharp can go ahead and, you know, go A or B, and the signature she presently have will cover those things. Could come back saying, no, they're not going to, and, you know, whatever the cost is, we have to decide, you know, how we're going to handle that. Or if you turn around and basically say, you know what, I'm not interested, I wanted both positions, then we have to figure out how we're going to handle that as far as, you know, a sense of liability on that, which we still got to learn stuff on that also. So,
Commissioner?
Okay. A few things from me. Commissioner Stevenson and I have been in office for 3 years now. Sometimes I can remember what was pre-pandemic and what was in the pandemic is how I can monitor time. I believe pre-pandemic that this was already something to be considered for when the clerk auditor would no longer be running, because it was too much. Mm-hmm. And even with an experienced elected official in that position for two offices combined, and having been a deputy also in there, there's a long institutional knowledge that benefits efficiency. He's not new to it, right? And I remember this conversation. It was not unique to me. It was something brought up in budget discussions when the incumbent might not be the clerk auditor in the future, there would be a recommendation to split the offices because it is too much. There's just too much work. And there's enough important work on both sides that it needs someone's full attention, as Brian just described. So in a budget, you know, the budget meetings that start in the summer and then happen heavily in October, it impacts this budget year for the next budget year when that new, whoever is the new person who wins, comes into the office. So, I think all of us would have probably wish we could have foreseen this before the end of the year. However, this office did not have more than one candidate in the last election, which is when I ran and Commissioner Stevenson ran. There was only one. The position was unopposed. And so I guess for two of us especially, it's kind of a new situation to realize that that time is upon us when we consider the workload of this combined clerk and auditor position for the growth of Davis County, which is not going away. It's only become even more intense on both sides. So that's a perspective from me, that it's definitely been discussed, not just now, but when there might be a different new people coming in for that, that would be the recommendation. The workload is just too big. Also, I just really want to emphasize that this is an administrative consideration for the three of us. From what I understand, that's what the law...
we function as both things, but...
the legislative body.
We have to take legislative action.
Yeah, we have to take the legislative action. So it's definitely a consideration that is considering where we are at as a county right now and moving forward for the best interest in both of those responsibilities. And I'm also open to other questions.
So let's talk about changing the form of government in this county.
Well, this
is part of this discussion, actually.
Well, we got to finish this discussion on our agenda.
Okay, so
we'll
bring it up. The part of that is a small little part, but I understand that in that it actually eliminates often the auditor position.
Changing the form of government?
Yeah.
No, unless they take it in the budget of the mayor's office, but there's different types of forms of government, but we'll talk about that in a second. But
there's still an auditor.
There's still an auditor.
Also, that was in commissioner comments when that was brought up as a potential item for discussion. And any one of us can put an item for discussion on a work session. And so that has definitely not been a current discussion for the entire commission. I think I can say that.
Real quick, let's wrap up this part. I think the commission's desire, is what I understand, is that we hold this next commission meeting on the 25th and keep the comment period open. Also get some questions answered from Lieutenant Governor's office, what we need to do to make sure Michelle's signatures are still valid for whatever office she chooses, so we can have that knowledge. And then if they're not valid, then we need to figure out a way that we can compensate potentially for the signatures that she has gathered so that she can go gather the signatures that she needs. Is that what I'm...
Yeah, I think we gotta get the information from Lieutenant Governor's office, or get whatever the ruling would be, whatever they're gonna say. I mean, they're probably gonna go, we haven't seen this before, so.
Yeah.
But, and then we take it from there. So,
okay.
In all fairness, as far as it goes, so. I think, Commissioner, is there anyone else that has any questions? I mean, the staff has come in here, I think, because they're curious on everything also, which I appreciate that.
I think they're curious about changing the
government. Any questions or comments?
I just was wondering if with the balance of how many elected officials are running per
cycle
year.
Oh, right. That's a good question.
So are you going to make the clerk position just 2 years to offset the auditor?
I don't know. I think that's a good question.
That's set by statute, and so that balancing is already taking place. When was it? 6 years ago?
Yeah.
They got the 6-year term. It was actually recommended that the auditor get a 6-year term and the clerk, and then they said, "Hold on, we can't do that." So when they did that balancing, the clerk auditor ended up with a 4-year term. I think they took the recorder over to the treasurer at that point. So that's already been accounted for. That's all lined out in statute.
And Curtis, other counties that those offices are separated in, they're on the same election cycle.
Right.
On that.
Yeah, that's why specifically they left those there.
So I mean, here as right now we have Utah County just went through this, or going through this, I gather. They did it. Salt Lake County has a separate clerk and auditor. So Utah County, Salt Lake County, Weaver County, Ricky's, Clearwater. Is there any other county? I mean, those are the top three. Salt Lake,
There are several smaller counties that have a clerk and an auditor.
Separate on this, so it's for example, so it isn't so. Okay, then what are the?
And let me just say, because there was this other comment that came in, but we've already cared for it. They just hoped that we would give it a little more time for public comment. So we think that's great.
So the other thing though that I can just touch base on real quick here is that, and again, not using names, but we did, I think 3 years ago, we did look at the fact that the position of clerk and auditor were combined and that we did increase the pay. I'm of the assumption that if we go to a clerk and we go to an auditor, that those two positions will go back to what the elected people's pay is as far as that goes.
Yep.
So that would be another thing we have to, as we go through this process, also be able to do. So.
Okay. All right, we'll move on now to discuss change in form of government. Commissioner Stevenson, you're the one that brought this up, so I'll turn the floor to you again.
Okay, I'm a big-time believer that we always, in any political office, we have to turn around and be looking at what the future is going to bring and how things are changing, because things are continually changing around us. My understanding is dealing with the three-member commission is that realistically was something that was started back in the rural USA period of time, and things have changed during that time. Neil, I don't know if you can give us just a little insight as far as how this works, the processes that could go through as far as this goes.
At a real just kind of core basic level, it can be initiated by the legislative body. They would start with a motion, put together a study committee, you'd eventually adopt a resolution, and then it would go to a public hearing and you'd start the public process. Or it can go and be initiated by the voters. Registered voters could...
A referendum.
They file a notice of intent to gather signatures, they gather enough signatures, and they get it on the ballot. And similarly, there's going to be number of public hearings along the way. Either track is a very public process.
All right, so, and I mean, in my thinking, as far as the importance that we do start talking about this, is that I am a believer that because the nature of how Davis County is made up, there's no difference with what we're talking about as far as splitting these two areas, is that we are going to continue to grow and grow and grow. I'll be very to the point dealing with a commission form of government. In a sense, there's nobody in charge. And that doesn't mean that the three commissioners do not get along. We do have a very, very good relationship as far as Lorene, Randy, and I. And I believe we work very, very closely with everything we do. I just believe that we have to start looking towards the future. I would see that if we were to turn around and try to pursue this, which realistically did. Can the commission do it, or do the commission basically put it before the people to vote on it?
The commission can start it by doing the motion, and then ultimately, like I said, you study, and then you conclude that that's what you want to do. You adopt a resolution, and then it kind of goes through the public process from there. But if the legislative body elects not to do it, the public can say, hey, we're going to see if we can gather enough signatures to get this on the ballot.
On the ballot could be put on the ballot by either the commission or by, in a sense, a public referendum, or the commission themselves could just do it. Is that correct? So in a sense, commission could choose either way, either make the decision themselves or put it on the ballot for the people to decide. Am I correct on that?
Then you put it forward to the study commission. That's what happened in Utah County, Weaver County, that what type of form of government would be best for the county. And they studied out, and they put that to be voted upon. That's what happened in Utah County, Tooele, and the other counties that have...
And Utah County voted on it. Weaver County?
Weaver County voted on it, voted it down. Utah County went... Utah County's commission did not vote to put it on there. I think they got a petition to put it on the ballot, and it still got voted down. Weaver County voted to vote on it, and the commission's the one that initiated it, and the citizens still voted it down.
So anyway, whatever the process is, I look at this is a probably a good 2-year process if we were to do it. And look, this is something that is going to take place in the next 6 weeks. I just think it's things that we have to start looking at with the nature of how Davis County is run and what basically as urban as we are. I do have a concern with the fact that realistically we're legislative and we're administrative. And And I think that where it's time that we turn around and we became basically administrative, and we have a legislative side to it. And
so is there a specific form that, that you are thinking would be a better form of government for the county?
I'm of the opinion for the future of the county that you turn around and you have basically an administrator, a mayor, an executive, whatever your title, you know, exists out there, and you have a council. I think one of the good things about having a council also is whether it's, I gather, is it 5 or 7 is what they look at?
Usually 5 or 7, yes.
5 or 7 is that it does then allow for there to be more representation throughout the county. I mean, in a sense, Randy, Lorene, and I live within a stone throw of each other here in the center of the county. And there's different issues, you know, out to be able to be represented. I believe that, you know, as you go through this and get, like I could tell anybody I know a whole lot, I'm just willing to turn around and bring this up, is that, you know, you very well, if you had a 7-member, you could have 5 that were basically assigned to areas that they had to come from, and then maybe 2 at large. If you had 5, you could have just 5 areas. I mean, there's so many different things as far as that goes. But I do think that that we need to, and I think in all fairness, you know, everyone within the county, that we turn around and we work to where we basically have someone who is here that is in charge, and that they basically are the functioning takes place. If my understanding is correctly, there's a lot of contracts and things that if we did have an executive, whatever title it is, that they would be signing off. It wouldn't be necessarily legislatively having to go through. Am I correct on that point as far as it goes? So I think there's things that are out there. I think as far as the council and executive would be, is that you know someone could still be assigned to the Wasatch Front, someone could be assigned to the UAC, I mean, all these different things that we see, like Amy Winder, continually she's around a lot of these different areas that she represents Salt Lake County. And I just think it's something that we need to start at least looking into and studying, and not being afraid to study this out over the course of the next period of time to see if this would be better for Davis County come the year 2030, 2040, 2050. I think that we're seeing Salt Lake County's that way, Summit County's that way, Cache County's that way. I agree that both Utah and Weber voted down, and they did have somebody grab me from Utah County the other day and said that was the stupidest thing we ever did there, that we should have gone to that. So
I got people grabbing me from other saying that was the stupidest form of government in Salt Lake County.
So
I'll let Commissioner come on, we have an opportunity.
You know, when I was in my campaign, I had a couple of people ask me my opinion about it, and caused me to think about it. I was still in my master's of public administration and had a pretty robust policy professor, you will have. And policy has always interested me tremendously. Sometimes, and it's not rare, there are policy dilemmas, and sometimes there are policy trade-offs. From what I understand, we have a city manager located in our county who came from Salt Lake County, who said that they hoped that that change in the form of government would solve some of the concerns that they had, and it didn't solve those concerns. You know, it just became a different thing, and in that person's opinion, it became something even less desirable than what they had before. So I firmly believe there would be trade-offs, and I think it just comes down to some really good research and some really good policy analysis. And I know, for example, I have been in meetings at the state level where that elected official is not in the room. Their full-time staff person is in the room to collect the information to speak for the elected official. So, you know, do we like having commissioners who it's intended to be their full-time responsibility? Or is it somehow better if you have some people who are in that elected position, but they're holding down other jobs as well, and have a full-time staff person to help them cover the duties of just their part of it? I think that the size, the geography of our county It's the smallest in the state of all the 29 counties. There is no reason that we should have a commissioner who can't really know all 15 cities and get around this county really, really well. So I as far as districting and the size of it, I don't see any reason to change the form. If it became so much work that, like, we're having to split the clerk and the auditor elected state statute roles because there's too much work, that would be a consideration. I work full-time hours in my responsibility, but I'm able to do that. There's not more work than I can do that should otherwise be done, and I'm limited by the amount of work. So it's not anything urgent in my mind for our county and the size that we're at. I don't see any problems. I don't mind the research and the policy analysis, but I would be down deep in it myself because it would be a very big decision. I would want to be involved in that research.
So I'm one of us now. I've been here for now going on 6 years. Looked at different forms of governments, how they interact with the state, and who's there, who's involved in our meetings. You hardly ever see anybody from Camas or Heber City, that particular county. There's maybe one from Park City that will show up. Maybe there's one from Cache Valley. Why? They don't have the time. They don't have the time to commit to their county. You just look at Twill as a change in form of government. You rarely see them anymore at the Capitol. You rarely see them speaking on behalf of it. Now, Salt Lake County, when they changed their form of government, came down to a ballot question. The ballot question is, do you want to A, pass it, or B, not pass it? And the question was written, do you want to make it pass? They wrote, do you want to have more representation in county government? And they said, if you want it to fail, we'll write it as, do you want to increase your size of county government? But they wanted it to pass. So they put it in there, have more representation. You went from a county commission. It cost Davis County about $900,000 a year to run because we have three commissioners and two staff. Salt Lake County went from $900,000 and then ballooned. It went to a county mayor, three deputy mayors, seven council members with full-time staff to fill them in on what was going on because they can't attend all their meetings. So it ballooned it. And you hear from a city manager that voted for it, he said that was the stupidest thing we could have done because now we can't get shit done in our county. So I firmly believe, and I will not push this issue, so I'm a no vote on this. Any other opinions on that? Sorry.
One thing I will
sometimes say. Sometimes we don't agree on things. Maybe that's good. That's good.
No, it actually,
if you're all in unison, we've got a problem. Yeah.
It actually is good, but there are a couple of things I just want to finish with saying. First of all, I do believe, and it's what I said to begin with, I think we need to study this out. I think we need to look at it. I think that if any of us as commissioners are afraid to lose our jobs because we do this, is wrong. I think that what you're saying dealing with Salt Lake County, I don't care what Salt Lake County does. If we do this, we do it our way. We do it with the way it is, and I'm not talking about all this full-time staff and all this stuff. We figure out what's best. And as Lorene said, is that if we study this out and find that this isn't right, then it's not right. I totally agree. We just should not be afraid to at least look in to see what's there. My opinion is, do we make a decision? No, we put this to the people and let the people decide what they think is best. But I want everyone in this room to think about this one question. I want you to tell me one organization, whether we're talking religion, whether we're talking business, or whether we're talking government, outside of county government, that does not have a leader. Because we do not have a leader. That is what is missing. And so that is part of, as I look at this, and again, this stuff's in the future that we have to look at. I'm definitely not afraid to take a good look at things and say, what are the best choices? Randy, your comment right there about cost. Do you realize that if we split these two people, we just increase cost with what's there? So I guess it's okay to look at costs because we're doing this because the work is too much. But you're afraid that this may cost more. It may not cost as much. It could be less. So I don't know. That's part of all the things that need to be studied out. But I don't think we should ever be afraid of looking at all options no matter where we're at. We've hired more attorneys. We've increased what we've done in these two offices here, and these are things because it's the right thing to do with what we needed to do. And that's all I'm saying. I don't know if it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but we shouldn't be afraid of looking at it.
Hey, let me just also, because I think, I remember someone asking me about that, having three people with executive functions and like legislative functions. And it's actually a really great question. We have, I hear, before Commissioner Stevenson and I were in office, there was a lot of work by attorneys and by the clerk auditor's office to make sure that separation is held all the time. And it's very clear, like in our commission meetings, they've maybe always done this, but we very clearly go out of the executive and then into the administrative and then come back to perform the different functions there. And that's another thing that's been pretty cool about some of the work that's happened in the last 3 years is that that there was a whole separate division created within the clerk side to handle the clerk's responsibility of the commission, further separation, so that they are doing things now that our commission staff used to do. And the clerk auditor and his clerk team said, hey, we think there's a better way to separate and that we will take it on. And let me just also say this, that I heard the clerk auditor, who's the elected one, say to his clerk, deputy clerk, I want you to see if you all can accomplish taking this on a whole different division without adding another employee. Because it's always a very big decision to add every single employee, we want to really make sure you almost get to the point of you can't handle it at all and then you add that employee, right? You do all you can to stretch before you add that additional budget in. So so it's a big deal and something that we work really hard, and there's been some even more progress made to separate. And apparently that's what Salt Lake County has also done when they went to the separation, that the clerk handles the commission.
Ms. Kurtz.
Yeah, so speaking of that specific function, that's not a function that's just passed around administratively. The county had drifted away from the statute. The statute is that you have a county clerk who clerks for the legislative body. And so that's why that move was made, was to bring us back in line, to bring us closer in line. Once again, additional work. But I just want to be clear, that's a statutory function. And that's why in other counties, the clerk of the county is the clerk of the legislative body. It is a defined statutory role. We were bringing Davis County back in line with the statute.
Yeah, so yeah, important, I think, to understand those things for the public.
Okay, we've had a little bit of discussion on that. It's like we'll have a little bit more discussion on that, but we'll keep moving on our agenda items. Any other questions?
That's, okay. I think that's. But we will wait until Tuesday for you.
Yes, that is the way we're doing.
So that we can get more public.
Yep.
On
yep.
That would be great.
Okay. And some more questions that we had answered on that one. So, all right. Looks like we do have a closed session item that we need to discuss. So.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. All right. All right, I'll be looking for a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
Yeah, we got a motion to go into closed.
Yeah, we're
doing
that
now. Right now.
And
second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, we're out of closed session. It is 3:30, and this meeting is adjourned.